Blog Talk Radio.
Sanchez. That's your song right there, Ma.
Yeah. I know. Fantastic, right? It makes me feel good every time, you know, I hear that, you know? We have a great show tonight, Eric.
That's your hype music right there. Get hyped up music. Your theme music.
Yeah. And I really do get hyped up when I hear him play.
That's right. Welcome to the K Thompson Live Show. My name is Eric Payne. That's my mom right there.
I'm
on the
Kay
end of this line, Kay Thompson, and we have with us going to be joining the show, Mr. Wayne Gilman.
Good
Welcome
evening,
to the
everyone.
Show, Wayne.
Can you hear me? Thank
Hello,
you.
Hello, Wayne.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, quite well, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
and
very good.
I
wasn't
say,
sure, you know. I've been waiting a while, and no one got back to me, so I just took it for granted that I would be on at this particular time.
We're
right,
just
right.
trying to get rid of you, that's all.
Hey, listen. I've had enough snow. It's amazing that I'm even up to this, you know.
I know.
But
yeah.
it's been some season so far this year. But I want to say it's an honor and a pleasure to be here with both of you. I know this is, you know, formally my first installment as a regular participant now.
Right,
and
right.
That's
right.
Congratulations.
Thank you, you know.
Well, and we're glad to have you.
Well, I'm honored,
like
as
you,
I said, to
you
be
my
here.
Mom used to do it there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Kay used to hold my hand, and she taught me everything I knew. You know, my
Listen,
skills
you're
were so
older
limited.
Than I am. Don't even try it. Did you hear what I said? I said, you're
yeah,
older
I know.
Than I am, so don't even try it.
You know, and I feel it, too. And I'm not saying that means that you're that old. That just means that I've been shoveling too much snow. That's all. But
getting a little strange there.
Yeah. But okay, you know, I guess we're inseparable. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter how much time has elapsed, how much water is between us in terms of the Hudson. You know.
No, well, let's
but
try
we're good
snow.
To be here. Yeah, and the snow. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
and you know, we have a great show on tonight, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Who we're going to be talking to.
A very famous author.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Glenda Taylor,
okay. Right.
Yeah. And she has written several books. And one I'm going to be referring to tonight is she's going to be calling in about quarter after the hour, is Truth Beyond Illusion. And I just want to read this for a minute. Don Imus, nationally known radio and television commentator, called a group of African-American female basketball players, nappy-headed hoes and jigaboos. And, of course, the African-American community was outraged and demanded an apology and insisted that he be fired. Now, the subconscious terrain labeled these young African-American women who had done nothing to be characterized in derogatory terms as harlots. Now, she was also, they were also African-American women when they appeared in or arrived in America, they were considered pieces of property. They were also referred to as whores, wenches, physically, sexually, verbally, and mentally abused. Now, with Glenda writing this book, what this book is about is it's called Truth Beyond Illusion. It's an extremely extraordinary book. It deals with African-American women from the 1860s to the 1950s. And the author is Glenda Taylor, and she will be calling in. I think we're going to be talking to her about quarter after. And she said something in this book. First of all, I should tell you about the book. The book is not, you know, you don't have the written word in this book except in the introduction and the end. The book
is all
about...
Was that a passage from the book that you just read?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Now, the book is all about photographs. They're pictures of African-American women from the 1960s to the 1950s. No words, just pictures.
Wow.
Okay? Mm. Isn't it amazing? When you see the book, you're going to be absolutely amazed. I've gotten it, you know, several months ago when she first wrote it. By the way, Glenda is legally blind. And it, she says in here, she said, "You are the unknown warrior who dared to wage war against oppression and legalized insanity. You are the unknown warriors who dared to stake claim to your rights as Americans. You are the unknown warriors who dared to see an America which lived up to her ideals. You unknown warriors, you Americans of African descent." She also goes on to say in her introduction, "You have given me strength. It is my knowledge of you that has allowed me to face darkness. Your light helps me face my challenges. I release you. I release you. I share your images with those who seek truth." And then
wow.
once you get into the book, there are pictures. And they are like, well, I don't know. You can tell if they're old pictures, all of African-American women. And it is the most extraordinary piece of literature I have seen in a long time, and I really, really recommend it. The name of the book, once again, is Truth Beyond Illusion, African-American Women, 1860s to the 1950s. And Glenda wrote this with her mother, Mary J. Taylor. So
there you go. Kay, I was about to ask, has she always been sightless throughout her life?
No. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember, but Glenda started coming on the air with me years ago.
Remember, right.
And she became, you know, blind, you know, or it was gradual. So, and then but that didn't stop her, although that really, you know, was quite a blow to her for a while, but she didn't overcome it. I don't think we can ever overcome that.
Right,
but she was
right.
still writing, you know.
Wow.
And Eric, you've seen some of her books.
Book.
You've seen, you know, her
writing.
Yeah,
the book you're talking about is a book of illustrations. And,
that's right.
which is, you know, based on what you just said, her being legally blind, because I don't know how she, I'm sure she could see the illustrations to choose them, but
yeah,
there's really some great, they're really some great pictures, and they give a real, they give one a real sense of what, a historical sense of what life might have been like for some of these women, and a lot of these women, like you were saying when we were looking at it, Mom, that a lot of these women seem to be well-to-do, or seem to be doing relatively well as far as the society was concerned, but just by the way they dressed, even if they were just Sunday best type clothes, a lot of these clothes that these women are photographed in are, you know, they show a certain lifestyle and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And also,
that's
I should
amazing.
Say too that one of the books that I'm very impressed with too was a more recent book. I think it was several months ago, called Jalamuso's Drum. People who have listened to Kay Thompson Live, you know, have heard me describe it and have heard me. Jalamuso is a griot. And she talks about these women who are who she considers griot. She talks about Whitney Houston. She talks about Sissy Houston. She talks about Whoopi Goldberg. She talks about, so many of the stars, Eartha Kitt. And she says that when they travel, you know, as they were performing, of course, they would talk about where they were and, you know, the atmosphere, the scenery, et cetera. So she got a picture, or they were doing this because they wanted people to get a picture of where they were, what they were going through, and they became the Jalamusos. The Jalamuso is the Jalamuso's drum. In other words, the griot. You know,
right.
the griots, I should say, of the entertainment. Isn't that exciting? I love that.
I love
that book. Right. I mean, it is, you know. And one person that she had interviewed was Sissy Houston, Whitney Houston's mother. And Sissy is quite an author, right? Because she comes from a line of singers. Of course, they're from, I don't know where the family is from originally, but they were centered in living in Newark, New Jersey, as we were.
Yeah,
as
right.
a matter of fact, Whitney had come to the Thompson Dance Studio. She was our student for a while.
Right.
Eric, do you remember Whitney?
No, I do not. I remember the name, hearing that name and seeing that name in you know, papers around the office, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to, you know, not to just move going a little bit different direction before we get off into a specific discussion, you know, talk about some other topics that were in the news, like, you know,
yes,
the Super Bowl, which wasn't really so super of a game, but it
tell
happened,
me about it.
You know, and it was there, and I don't know. We watched it at our house. Well, I watched it and fell asleep a little bit. I don't know what you thought about it, Wayne. Or
well, I was a little disappointed. It seemed like as if from the time the course got out the gate, it was mm-hmm. all in Seattle's favor, and
right.
And I have to say it was a commendable job. I spoke to your mother earlier today about the Seahawks quarterback Ron Wilson and how you
Russell
facially.
Wilson.
I don't know if you have looked at him, but his facial countenance to a certain extent resembles yours, Eric. And I really think there may be some sort of familial connection between your family and his, because I was able to watch a documentary on him. I didn't know how much of an influence his father, who was related to a Thompson from Virginia, was mm-hmm. on his life. And his
yeah.
father passed, but they showed photographs of his father and
right,
photographs
I saw a part
of
that as
him.
Well.
Yeah, and you all, I mean, I have no empirical evidence to show this, but if there is a familial connection based on what your mother told me, a lot of Thompsons in the state of Virginia,
mm-hmm.
that you know,
right.
it's like one big family, so I wouldn't be surprised that there may be a connection. But getting back to your question about the game itself, I, you know, it certainly was mystifying to me, and, you know, it was just one of those things. I guess Peyton Manning didn't have a chance, and there was so much talk about him and what he was going to do, and this poor kid out of nowhere, you know,
right.
with just his confidence instilled by his dad, you know, stole the show.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, that younger team. I mean, you know, everybody knows Peyton Manning is a great quarterback, and he just had one
right.
of those days where you have a bad game but just happened to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean,
yeah.
unfortunately, you know, that was when the day that they had a bad game was the day of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know what?
And,
I wanted to ask you with respect to that, not to cut you off, but I see Governor Christie came into another round of criticism as a result of that game. How they handled the transit situation.
Oh, really? I'm not aware of that. You mean in terms of people coming into the stadium and going to the game and things like that? Yeah, I haven't heard him coming under criticism for it, but I know it was kind of a convoluted process that people had to go to with shuttles and
The
train system coming in from Manhattan to over there to the Secaucus Station.
Exactly. And I think that's where that the bottleneck occurred right there. And
right.
You know, I was just reading in the internet version of the Star Ledger earlier today that, you know, not only is the George Washington Bridge situation, a scandal, but this could be just the equivalent, you know, the fact that he should fire the guy who represents the Port Authority for Jersey because of what happened during the game.
Yeah, I mean, they should really get rid of all of them. I could see.
Maybe that's coming.
We'll see.
yeah,
we'll see
so.
What happens with Chris Christie. I mean, some of
yeah.
the stuff, some of the stuff that seems to be being questioned and talked about, those seem to be some pretty impeachable offenses. You know, some of these kind of land deals and some of the things
yeah.
that the mayor of Hoboken is claiming, and some other things that they touched on. There was another issue that I heard being discussed. I can't remember it right now. But it was something else that was pretty kind of damaged. Oh, the situation with the Sandy money, you know,
oh, yeah,
the Sandy
yeah,
money
yeah.
as mm-hmm. kind of political gift money instead of what it was really meant for. We have like about a minute to break, but yeah, that was another kind of straw on the camel's back, so to speak, in terms of things that you know they're going to look into as they look into this whole Bridgegate, which seems to be the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Boy, what a year.
Yeah.
I had heard that he was someplace and he went into, it was something that he was appearing at, and when he appeared, that he was booed. So,
right.
And I forget, you know, which organization it was.
I think it was the Howard Stern birthday party or something like that. He was a guest, and some people caught him after, and he refused to speak to the press. I think only until a couple of nights ago he was on a local radio station out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he caught hell, not just from the scrutiny of the press alone, but there are a lot of people, not just in New Jersey, but in New York as well, who were affected by the business with the George Washington Bridge. And they've turned his back, except for Rudolph Giuliani, who I think legally blind anyway, if I may say so.
he's legally stupid.
But also,
I think it's just about time. I think we're just about time to go for a break, if we're not mistaken.
Break, really? Okay.
Producer Ayanna, is it break time?
Shauna.
I might be a little bit premature, but break.
It's
break. Break. Well, we'll keep talking anyway, but yeah, you would expect that Giuliani would be,
a cheerleader coming out.
Podcast.
Yeah. You know what I don't understand? All right, I think
we're
going to step break right now. We'll be right back.
For something important to say, now is your chance to have your very own radio show. Whether you're just starting out, a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We'll help you to grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 today or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your very own show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Okay. All right. We are back, everyone. Kay Thompson live with Eric Payne and Wayne Gilman, you know, and I should say, too, that we're going to be talking to Glenda Taylor, poet, author, and if she's on right now, we're going to be talking to her very, very quickly, although I do have another thing to say about Governor Christie, Eric and Wayne. It seems so strange to me that a governor, somebody who's the head of the state, would not know about a project that was holding up traffic in his state. And the GW Bridge at that. This is the largest bridge in the country.
Yeah, he said
I don't understand that at all.
What did he say? Did he say he read it in the article that there was a problem a couple weeks later? Which is
it seemed like that. Like, it was well after the fact, but you know, I really
he said
that
on the radio interview the other day that he didn't know about it. So something crazy sounding like that.
Yeah,
it's just so unbelievable.
Well, my fear is that, you know, a lot of our voters, not just in New Jersey, but in New York and other parts of the country, we have a tendency to forget certain things, you know, and mm-hmm. even a scandal as big as this, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful to our Jewish community, but when I see Christie talk, I'm reminded of the Joseph Goebbels stories, the guy, the head man that was behind Hitler. And if you tell a story long and strong and long enough, you know, people will start believing there's no, you know.
If you lie like that long enough.
Right. You know, I mean, just saddens me that it comes down. You know, and I mean, the Holocaust was a terrible thing. I mean, we had our own as people of color, but, you know, what Jews had to go through, you know, and you get somebody like that, and you just start, you know, repeating it over and over again, well, you start believing, well, maybe he's telling the truth. What do you think?
Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think this doesn't really come on quite that level of comparison, but it is.
Yeah,
really,
I know.
Towards
yeah.
the level
mm-hmm.
of abuse of a power and really where it's affecting, everyday people.
Yeah.
You know, and
you know what
upon,
I want to find out right now? If Glenda Taylor is on the line, right now if she has called in. By the way, everyone, please realize that we are not in the studio right now. We are snowed in wherever we are. I think, Wayne, you're in New York.
Yep.
Eric's in one part of Jersey, and I'm in another part of Jersey. And Glenda is, calling from upstate New York somewhere. You're here.
There she is.
How are you?
Hi, Glenda
Taylor.
Okay.
Welcome. Hey, how are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Sure.
We just talked about your book, Truth Beyond Illusion. Did you hear?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, I was describing the book, and I also read that portion, I think, that I had read to you before. But how did you come about, writing this and putting all these pictures in without saying another word, just letting the pictures speak for themselves?
Well, what happened is initially the photographs were going to be a part of a different project that I was working on. And my mother came up saying to me, Glenda, these pictures, she said, you have to publish this. You have to publish it. And a friend of mine who has like a collection of over 10,000 photographs like that, he had them and they're not, they're his private. They're in his private collection. And I wanted to distribute it. And then after Don Imus made his infamous remark, I said, you know what, it's our responsibility to, show the image of who we are and have been. So that's what made me do it.
Glenda,
well,
listen, Eric, you said your friend has 10,000 personal pictures like that?
What happened is he's an antiques dealer, and he said back in the 70s and the 80s that family members would just throw them in the garbage. And, he would go to their homes, and that was nothing to them. They would just throw it away, and he was saying, wow, these are and he has an amazing collection. And he said that they would throw it away, and because some of them, they didn't know who the people were. They didn't care. He just started collecting them, and now he probably has more than that by now. But this
That's
is years
remarkable.
Ago. He had over 10,000 photographs.
That's remarkable.
These are
the most
women
extraordinary
of color.
Book I've seen. Yeah, all women of color. And it's extraordinary. It is absolutely, I can't describe it. You would have to see it. The name of the book, by the way, is Truth Beyond Illusion. That's Truth Beyond Illusion. And there are pictures of African-American women from the 1860s to the 1950s by Glenda Taylor and Mary Taylor, your mother. So, Glenda, I understand that, you tell everybody what you're going to be doing with this book as a special favor to people who are listening.
Oh, when we talked earlier, I said the first 50 people who send an email to customerservice@amhpublishers.com will get a complimentary copy.
Very good.
Would you say that again?
Customerservice@amhpublishers.com.
Okay. Customer service. And this is the email address, right? Customer service.
Yes.
A, M as in Mary, H as in house, right? Publishers.
Yes.
So amhpublishers.com. So that's your email address, and you will get a free copy of Truth Beyond Trick, Beyond Illusion?
Yes.
That's absolutely amazing.
That's a commitment. That's a commitment. The publisher will send them out to you. Of course they have to put their name and, mailing address. Yeah, right.
And say where you heard it.
Exactly. Say you heard it at the Kate Thompson Live Show. Glenda, and maybe I just missed this because I had to step away for a minute, but what was the reason that you decided to put this, we know the reason, you described it a little bit, but these particular types of photographs of predominantly African-American women.
Well, remember when
my mother,
Don Imus
made that
comment?
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. That was my answer to Don Imus. Truth Beyond Illusion is my answer.
Because this is
when you look at those photographs, it's amazing to me, the hairstyles and the dress.
Right.
I mean, we didn't see people today dressing like that.
And they seem to have a certain kind of class or kind of they have a certain kind of air about them, kind of a mental distinction that the way they carry themselves. You know, they seem to be women with dignity, you know, and pride, and also of a certain station in life. Is that correct about those photographs?
Well, the station in life is varied because you have some of them are nurses. You could tell by their outfits. Some of them are
right,
educators.
Right,
you could tell because they were groups of students. But during that period, the majority of African-American females had positions as domestics. So some of the people... many of the people in those photographs were, you know, they went to the studio and took their beautiful pictures, but they were, you know, had the hard task of cleaning someone's home and caring for other people's children.
Yeah. Glenn Gilman here in New York, I just managed to bring up a little bit of this on the internet, and I can't open the book through Amazon.com, but I see the cover with the young lady with the hat on, and it just occurred to me that the period that you're covering is almost 5 years before slavery was legally ended in this country. And,
right.
Yeah, I was just wondering... was there any, Carl, I mean, when you open the book, is there any discussion or, well, I know this is all about pictures, but I guess there are also pictures of people who were enslaved at that particular time, or women who were victims of slavery then, too.
Well, I really don't know the backgrounds of the people in that way. When you look at them, they don't look like they were, but I really don't know what position they were in. And some of the pictures I actually had the dates, but I had a professional appraiser date the photographs, so I can't.
Yeah.
I don't really know if any of them were slaves, but primarily it's the late 1800s. But still, you know, the way they were dressed, some of them were obviously, you know, freed people.
Let me ask you this. There's a list of the women in the back of the book. Now, are these the women that you're showing in this book? For instance, Phyllis Wheatley from 1753
to 1784? That's just a tribute to all African-American women of the past.
I see. Okay.
Just a scroll. The point of the book is that, and, you know, it's Black History Month, right, is that we have to honor these people because most of the names we don't know, and these are the people who open the doors for us. Like, I just saw this special on a documentary on television, and it was talking about the lunch counter, the sit-ins at the lunch counter. And they were talking about the history and what happened to the four men. And I said, my God, I mean, if it were not for these men, you know, we wouldn't be able to go where we want to go and do what we want to do, because they at least started the process. And I cannot tell you their names. And those are names that we should know. And there are a lot of invisible warriors who, you know, have made my life a lot easier.
And the point of
the book was, these are the women, we don't really know their names. And the ones that you're talking about on the list, those are the ones whose names we do know, most of them. And it's just time. And as you see at the end of the book, it talks about how we as individuals need to pay tribute to these people.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I agree 100% with you. I've thought, you know, when you talk about the great events in history, March on Washington, bus boycott, all these events, that you think about the names and there's the history makers, so to speak, that come to mind, which are basically the markers of history and time. The famous names, Dr. King or Kennedy or whatever, they're the markers of that historical place. You know, if you're going through the library of history, those names stand out as markers. And the people who attended, to me, I mean, my contention is the people who have attended the March on Washington and the bus boycott, the average everyday people, those are really the people that got out and said, you know, we have to fight the battle on an everyday, very real-life basis for freedom. You know,
exactly.
The average people, I mean, the homage that you pay to people in that book is the average person who's fighting that battle every day and living their life and trying to live with dignity and push the issue of civil rights and black people and rights for all people forward in their small way that, you know, through time they don't really get the respect unless you talk about, you know, like I said, the people who are of note or the markers of history. But for every one of those people, there's people that followed them, supported them, and worked with their cause to do
that.
So.
That's why I like the movie The Butler, because that's what that symbolized. He was a symbol of those. We didn't know his name. We never knew, you know, about him until basically recently, within the last 10 years. But
yeah.
He was the one that was, and his children, and, you know.
And there were
the
other butlers there. So what about
the Obamas?
Right.
I'm sorry. I was just curious to see whether or not Michelle Obama or you know, someone of that stature was figured in your book in any way, or is there any reference to, you know, the advances that we've made? Because you're saying, again, I know it's from 1860 to 1950, right? Or
Right.
Yeah.
To the 1950s.
Right. I'm out of curiosity. I just wanted to know if there was any reference or a juxtaposition between what happened then and look what we're doing now. You know, I don't know. Maybe.
I think I mentioned Michelle Obama in the dedication. I don't even remember my own dedication.
Oh.
But I think I mentioned her. But what you're referring to is talk about in Black America Cried. That's a different book, and it's a book of poetry.
Oh.
And it talks about the past, that period, and it comes into the present. And the moment what the title is based on, Black America Cried, is I just remember the day, that night, and the day after, and several, you know, weeks after, every time you saw, you know, Jesse Jackson, Oprah Winfrey, so many people, they were crying. And that's why I wrote that book. And, we cried, the nation cried, the world cried, because, you know, of what that symbolized.
Very fascinating. I also see that your mom was a college educator. She's from this area or New York?
She's from Hallandale, Florida, but she's been here since she was a teenager. And my sister and I were raised in New York City.
Oh, okay.
We're New York. Brooklynites.
Oh, Brooklynites from Bed-Stuy?
Yeah, Brooklyn.
I'm from Brooklyn, too.
Yeah, Eric, I was just going to say that. Wayne is going to take credit. I know that.
Listen, we hear every week we hear more about Jersey than we have a little about Brooklyn. But Jersey's worth it.
And we
got to
bring
some
New York City, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
There's also another book. There's also another book that people have heard me refer to quite a lot, and that is Jalamuso's Drum.
Right.
And so can you tell us again what a Jalamuso is or what Jalamuso is and what it's about?
But before we do that, we want to go to a break. So we're going to do that on the other side of the break when we hear that description of what is Jalamuso's Drum. We'll be right back. Stay tuned to the Kay Thompson Live Show. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on GoPro Radio Network shows are solely those of the speakers and are not necessarily the views or opinions of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. or its affiliates. These broadcasts are provided on the understanding that they do not constitute professional advice or services. Individuals who speak in these broadcasts express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. GoPro Radio Networks and its affiliates do not necessarily endorse or oppose any particular opinion or conclusion discussed in these broadcasts. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute these broadcasts in any way without the express permission of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. GoPro Radio Networks assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with these broadcasts or for your use of these broadcasts in connection with your website, computer, or playing device.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Okay, I think we are back now. I'm Kate Thompson, and
I'm Eric Payne,
and I'm Wayne Hill.
Wayne, and also Glenda Taylor, you're still on. I want to tell people that Custom Service, AMHPublishers.com. You can, Glenda's going to make a gift of what, Glenda? Tell us again. Glenda, are you still there?
Yes, I'm good. Yes, a copies of the book to your audience.
Now, it's free. They don't have to pay anything, right?
No, they don't have to pay anything. They don't have to pay for postage. They don't have to pay for the book. It's totally free.
Okay. Mm. So, therefore, this is the email address, customer service, A-M as in Mary, H-Publishers.com. Once again, customer service, A-M-H-Publishers.com, and you will get this book. I am quite sure that once you get it, you will keep this book and pass it down from your, you'll have it, you pass it to your children, your grandchildren, etc. It is that extraordinary. And I wouldn't say that
right.
If I
the customer service
it,
at
AMH
Publishers. I'll put the ad in there.
The customer service at AMH Publishers.com? Okay.
Right.
Customer service at AMH Publishers.com.
There we go.
Is that
okay.
Correct?
Okay. There you
okay.
go.
Yes, that's correct.
Now,
okay,
why don't
so
you tell us about Jalamuso's drum?
Well, you asked me the definition of Jalamuso. That's a griot. That's another West African word for griot, depending on which country you come from. And that book, the subtitle is African American Female Entertainers as Cultural Historians. A griot, a Jalamuso, is a cultural historian. And basically I discuss how African American female entertainers use their autobiographies to tell American history, which is our history.
Mm.
Interesting.
And yeah, it's a very interesting autobiography, and it's a discussion of autobiographies, Aretha Franklin, Sissy Houston, Etta James, Josephine Baker, Diane Carroll, Whoopi Goldberg, it's a Patti LaBelle,
Why
Diane Carroll.
Why is that so unusual? Why do you, I mean, just give us more of a description of the word griot and how they fit that term, or that word.
Well, basically, a griot is a cultural historian. They're someone who preserves the history of the culture. And when you read these books, you're finding out about American history, entertainment history, and you find out a lot about African-American history and culture. For example, one extraordinary book is Sissy Houston's first book, in which she discusses how basically her family and many black families moved from the South to the North. And in books like Etta James, Ruth Brown, that, like one of the terms like I didn't know when I learned is that, back in the day, the word Ethiopian was put on the birth certificates of black people. I didn't know that. And you learn little things like this. And for another example is Etta James was there. She was very close to Sam Cooke. And as soon as she found out that he was murdered, she went and she witnessed it. And she went and, when they arrested the people and all kinds of things happened. So you get very vivid details of history in those books. Things that are unrecorded have been cast aside, and Lena Horne is another example. She tells you of her experiences in the White House. She tells you about President John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy from her perspective going through the movement. You also have Eartha Kitt, and she talks about how and why she was blacklisted. And basically,
Why was she blacklisted? I have forgotten.
Basically, when she went to the White House, she didn't know it at the time, but she made Lyndon Johnson's wife cry. What's her name now?
Really?
What's her name now?
Ladybird.
She didn't know until she got a call after it was all over. And basically, she was just asking questions about, like, you know, why are the boys in war, and why are we fighting this war? She thought that it was a free session, you know, a meeting in which
she
could ask open, honest
questions of the president at the time, and
right,
and
she asked questions that she wasn't supposed to ask, and she didn't know that. You know, it was upsetting, and the president's wife was very upset, and in less than 24 hours, there was all kinds of stories in the papers, and they basically blacklisted her. Lena Horne left the United States because of the way she was being treated and because she refused to do certain roles. And all of this, and Ruby Dee and Ozzie Davis, they do a tremendous job in their autobiography of telling the history of the McCarthy era and what was going on with the actors and the actresses during the time.
Right. It's amazing that we've lived through all that experience. And with the piece with Lyndon Johnson, he had suffered a tremendous amount of criticism back then because I was a child, and they were all trying to keep that war going. And America wanted it stopped, you know? And it's unfortunate that we had to pay that price, you know? And it's just one of those things. Interesting.
We did. And also Nina Simone, she's another one. She outspoken, and she ended up leaving the country because they were basically torturing her in different ways. That's why Josephine Baker left, because she said she wasn't going to be treated like a, you know, why she went to.
And she was a big star. She was the largest star in her day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she definitely was. As a matter of fact, what I was really amazed is she got a military funeral in France, and that was one of the largest funerals ever attended with the people came out, and they were in the streets for Josephine Baker because she was considered a war heroine served France during the war.
Right,
and they gave her military
occupation.
Yes.
Right. Born in the United States? I know somewhere in the Midwest or something, or?
I don't remember
Josephine
where
Baker
she
was
born
in the United States, yeah. She's from the United States.
Yeah, I know, but I forgot what state, you know, so I think in the Midwest, you know. Well, a beautiful woman, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, also, I should tell you this, too, that when Susie Houston, you know, published her book, I got a chance to interview her, you know, years ago, you know, about that book. And it was an excellent book. It was quite a history. She's a fantastic writer. You know, and I'm trying to think of another person. There were so many people that you mentioned.
Her latest book also.
Well,
Sissy Houston has two autobiographies. The first one and her last one, Remembering Whitney. And she really does an excellent job in her second book also.
Wow.
She comes as close to an autobiography, because Whitney never wrote an autobiography. And she comes as close to writing, you know, from her perspective, of course she's a mother's perspective, but her daughter's story. And she did it in a very well done, and it's tastefully done, unlike some of the other books that have been, you know, put out.
Well, if I remember correctly, Glenda, you really spend a lot of time on somebody that you have a great deal of respect for, and that is Whoopi Goldberg. Now, tell us about Whoopi in your book.
Oh, Whoopi, I think Whoopi is really brilliant. I think she's a brilliant comedian. And, you know, she's done so much. She's traveled a long road. And she's won, you know, she's won the Tony, the Grammy. She's won an Emmy Award. And she's won an Oscar. And she's really, to me, an amazing talent. Her autobiography really is not as detailed as some of the other autobiographies. But she speaks openly and honestly about her career choices. And she does a very good job of it.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg seems to be an example of one of those black women that you know of, an African-American in this business, and has had to come to grips with what the business is, and what it is in the United States to be black, also to be black in the business. and we're going to have to go for a break in a second. I just want to finish this thought. To be black in this business, then have to deal with the limitations of being a black person in the business, you know, and she's done it on her own terms and a lot. But here we have to go for a break. We'll be right back on the other side of the Kay Thompson Live Show.
GoPro Radio, the fastest-growing network in the galaxy, is leaner and meaner with a new attitude, new technology, and a brand new lineup. Tune in and get wired every Wednesday, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern with the BCS Experience featuring Byron C. Saunders, formerly of New York City's WBAI. Then at 6 p.m., it's the Black Agenda TV Express featuring sought-out political commentator Glenn Ford, formerly of America's Black Forum. Then at 8 p.m., it's time for Kay Thompson Live with the legendary radio host Kay Thompson of Inner City Broadcasting's WLIB and her son, renowned actor Eric Payne, who starred in such films as Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, Drop Squad, and many more. Then, at 9 p.m., it's Food Wrap, featuring Nina Markel, a.k.a. the unofficial mayor of Jersey City, and former Viacom marketing guru Shauna Glover. Last but not least, at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's the Sexy Party Show with the bad boy of dating Mr. Locario of I Love New York fame and his partner in crime, Miles Cunningham. So get wired every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern only on the GoPro Radio Network, www.goproradio.com. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Okay. We are back. Kay Thompson here.
Eric Payne.
Wayne Gilman.
So what do you think about that? What do you think about Glenda's book? You guys.
Oh, I think this illustrated book is an excellent book in terms of giving somebody an idea of the history of the United States, of African-American women, and African-American history in particular, spotlighting African-American women. I'm a big history buff, so I really like books like that. And when you could see physicality of things gives you, really brings history alive to you, you know. I'm big on one that likes to go to African American museums and seeing a lot of things like that because, you know, when we see the realities of what people had to go through, particularly black people in this country, it just makes you realize, you know,
You know, there is, when you said the African American museum, I'll get back to you, Wayne, in a minute, and you, Glenn, in a minute. When you talk about an African American museum, there's the African American, I should say the Martin Luther King Library in Washington, D.C. And when you stand out in front of the library, as a matter of fact, every single educator listening should take your classes to your class on a trip and go to the Martin Luther King Library in Washington. When you stand out in front of the library, you would see this huge image, this huge mural that is a African-American history guide of the civil rights, of this modern civil rights movement. It starts with Martin Luther King going to school in Brooklyn, and it goes all the way through to the bus boycott with Rosa Parks. Now, also, I say that because of the fact that I knew the painter, Don Miller, and I was able to do an interview in front of that mural, and I keep saying that I am going to show it on the air, and I am still. And I got to interview Rosa Parks in flesh, one-on-one. She had come over to LIB, Wayne, you may remember this, and Gus was able to have her brought over to Don Miller's studio in Montclair, New Jersey, and I interviewed Rosa Parks. I think it was about a 20-25-minute interview, one-on-one, in front of the mural before it was taken to the Martin Luther King Library in Washington.
Wow.
And that's something we'll have to make available to the we'll have to make that interview available to the listeners of the Kay Thompson Live Show on the GoPro Radio Network. We're going to have to get that to people so they can see that interview because it's really a great piece of history.
It's history. It's really, it's history.
Yeah.
It's very important, you know. But,
and she was very settled, very quiet woman, very sure of herself, but just, you know, very quiet, very unassuming. And she had a certain beauty about her that came through. It was a quiet, quiet beauty, as if, you know, she had been through a lot, but she didn't need to announce it. She was, and she was, you know, Rosa Parks. And
right.
I was thrilled to have the opportunity to, you know, to interview her.
Mm-hmm.
So, Glenda, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Did we lose? Okay. We should say, too, that remember, we're calling from different parts, you know, of the tri-state area, by the way, everyone. I have to tell you, because of the fact that the weather is still so awful here. We have this tons of snow.
Making travel,
you know,
rather difficult to get to,
yes,
get to the places, but with the amazing internet, the amazing internet, that we can grow and become a much smaller place, and the expertise of our radio station, GoPro Radio Network, but we're able to be in contact with each other. But it's a remarkable thing. I wanted to ask you guys about a story I heard earlier on the news today. While we're having kind of an open discussion here about this thing about George Zimmerman having a celebrity boxing match with the rapper
DMX.
Can
you imagine that?
I don't understand that. I didn't hear about that. I did see that his name was back in the news, but I didn't get a chance because I just happen to despise this man, and I think any kind of attention, including even the attention his ex-girlfriend, who to my knowledge has rekindled their relationship and has forgiven him for whatever abuse that she suffered, abuse that she felt was warranted to call the police. He should just be dismissed from the planet, period. And it's just unfortunate that we have not had the, as a community, and I'm not saying that there wasn't, open outrage expressed about this, but it's just unfortunate that we have not continued to fight this whole issue for Trayvon Martin, you know?
Right,
The fact that this was such a senseless loss. And
do you know there's another
continues.
Case like that? There's another case like that.
There is.
Right.
Just,
somebody
just to
named
focus on
Dunn.
This one, just to focus on this one really quickly, a point I want to get to with that is that I was going to talk about, you make me think in another direction, Wayne, about that, is that the fact that the state of Florida seems to be a state, it makes you realize that states' rights, that whole issue is alive and well in the United States. And, you know, traditionally for African-American people, that whole issue of states' rights and what it meant as vis-a-vis the civil rights movement, that states wanted to retain the right to have slaves and things like that. It's just really interesting how these various states are doing these different things. Certainly something like Stand Your Ground and that this guy can go free based on having killed a young black kid for no reason, but just because the states' rights, which were really like the racist states' way to keep their racist attitudes in perspective, allow this man to go free. Not only that, and the big issue in the news was that people even are considering this guy a celebrity, where he's doing things that are kind of bringing attention and potentially making money off of the amount of notoriety he received from killing this young black boy. I was going to say the only thing I hoped was that too bad it couldn't be someone like LL Cool J or someone like that, then you know for real he's going to get his ass whooped.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, other than just than DMX, because DMX might not come correct to the
right
fight. And, you know.
I don't even want to think that, but, you know, he deserves a beatdown.
So,
I mean, I'm with you, Eric, on that.
A little better shape in the celebrity boxing match who will be able to take advantage of that opportunity for all of black America. So, but it's just ironic.
I think he deserves better than that. He deserves more than a beatdown.
Right.
Something that he can't get up
no
from.
No question, yeah.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Be perfectly
right,
frank
right.
with you. He killed that young boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Today is Trayvon Martin's birthday. He was 19 years old.
Wow.
That's right.
So the issue of that coming out in the news around that time. So, but this issue of him being able to get away with that and the states' rights issue really is, and what these state legislatures are trying to do as they try to restrict the rights of black people in terms of voting rights You know, I was just reading about another state trying to work to restrict the rights of voting rights in city elections. Maybe it's in the and so, you know, they're really trying to me bring back kind of a Jim Crow or certainly a second class type of system, second class type of system society. So
let me tell you what I've read, the real truth
I think is that it never went away.
I think it never went away.
It existed, because when you think of different situations that's happened over the last 30 years, and when you think of that young man that was sitting in his car blasting his music, because a lot of us would have been mad, but for him to just walk up on him and start shooting at the car and killing
him. Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just claim you saw a gun. That's your reason why you had the ability. Because you think you saw a gun, like
right.
Really.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the new case recently about the kids listening to the music. We're going to have to start wrapping up the show. I was just getting ready to say that myself, that we are coming time to an end as we wind down on the Kay Thompson Live Show. I want to thank you for Glenda Taylor for joining us, Wayne Gilman, Kay Thompson. I'm Eric Payne. Thanks for listening to Kay Thompson Live Show.
And over there, customers. Don't forget the book by Glenda. You can get it for free if you email her at customerservice@amhpublishers.com. Am I right, Glenda?
Yes, that's right.
That's right. And thank you, Wayne Gilman, our new host. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne. Yeah.
Thank you. It's an honor and a pleasure.
All right.
Okay.
Join us again next week on Kay Thompson Live.
Okay.